Today we are discussing the paper by Namiro et al. Titled Kinetics of Circulating Progenitor Cell Mobilization During Submaximal Exercise. Taking part on this podcast, we'll have Dr. Mike DeLisio representing the authors and Dr. Ricky Simpson as an external expert. My name is Ben Miller, and as the associate editor who handled the peer review, I will moderate the discussion. Dr. DeLisio, please start by explaining to the listeners what hematopoietic stem cells or progenitor cells are and what key subpopulations you are interested in for this study.
So hematopoietic stem and progenitor cells are the main stem cells responsible for daily maintenance of all the immune and blood cells in the body. And they're also responsible for regenerating the blood system during times of hematopoietic stress. They're normally located in the bone marrow, but they do circulate in small numbers in the blood under steady state conditions. Now, their numbers can be increased in circulation by pharmacological treatments, such as those used for stem cell mobilization in the context of stem cell transplant, or by physiological stress, such as exercise. Similarly, other important stem and progenitor cell populations, like endothelial progenitors and mesenchymal progenitors, are located within the bone marrow and can also be mobilized by exercise.
Now, please briefly tell us what you tested in this paper, how you went about testing it, and what you found that was not previously known.
Previous work regarding the effects of exercise on stem cell mobilization have mostly focused on quantifying stem cells pre and post exercise, while the kinetics of stem cell mobilization during exercise, as well as the mechanisms responsible for exercise-induced stem cell mobilization, have not been well-defined. And I have a very talented grad student, Grace Namiro, who is very interested in examining the physiological role of mobilized bone marrow stem cells in tissue adaptation. So working with our collaborators from Dan Moore's lab at the University of Toronto and Nick Bird's lab at the University of Illinois, we tried to fill this gap in the literature. To do this, we quantified various stem cell populations in blood of young, physically fit adults at multiple time points during and after a one-hour exercise session at 70% of their predetermined VO2 peak. And then to further explore some of the mechanisms involved in stem cell mobilization, we also quantified CXCL12 and stem cell factor. These are two factors known to be involved in stem cell mobilization and homing. And then finally, given the previous literature regarding the role of these bone marrow-derived stem cells in tissue repair, we also quantified endothelial cells as a marker of vascular damage and related some of these more mechanistic targets to stem cell numbers. The main novel findings from our work were that circulating progenitor cells are increased early on after the beginning of an exercise session. And this happened before increases in known stem cell mobilizing factors like CXCL12 and SCF. The increase in circulating stem cells was related to our marker of tissue damage, the endothelial cell quantity. And we also noticed differential responses between different stem cell populations where hematopoietic stem and progenitor cells increased early during exercise, whereas mesenchymal stem cells tended to decrease later on during exercise.
Dr. Simpson, what is your take on this paper? What are the major strengths of the work? What is the significance of the results to the field? And what limitations might there be that readers should be made aware of?
So I thought this was an excellent and very well-designed study to examine the mobilization kinetics of circulating progenitor cells in response to steady-state prolonged exercise. I thought the immunophenotyping panel that was used in this study was very comprehensive. It's probably the most comprehensive phenotyping panel that has been used to date to really look at different subsets of progenitor cells that are mobilized in response to exercise. Why I think the study is very important is that it's really informed us which types of progenitor cells are most exercise responsive. And then from a correlational standpoint, as Dr. DeLisio already mentioned, it appears that the mobilization of progenitor cells during exercise may be related to endothelial damage. And it doesn't appear to be related to the release of certain chemokines involved in angiogenesis, such as CXCL12. I think the findings of this study do have important clinical ramifications, especially in the context of allogeneic hematopoietic stem cell transplantation. So essentially in allo stem cell transplantation, healthy stem cell donors are typically administered with pharmaceutical agents such as growth colony stimulating factor or GCSF, and this is given to mobilize stem cells from the bone marrow to the blood where they can be readily collected by apheresis for subsequent transplant. Unfortunately, some donors don't respond too well to GCSF, and they have to get additional doses of the drug. They have to undergo multiple apheresis sessions, and this is required in order for them to obtain enough stem cells so that the cells can be transplanted to a patient. So unfortunately, GCSF is not without side effects. Some side effects of GCSF include bone pain, nausea, fatigue, There's even concern in some areas that GCSF therapy may actually lead to the development of leukemia. So it's clear that new and economical methods that can facilitate stem cell collections from the blood are required to lower the reliance on pharmaceutical mobilization agents such as GCSF, and then also reduce the need for multiple apheresis sessions. So essentially, we're looking for new ways to make life easier on the donor. And then if donors were to perform exercise during apheresis following some GCSF therapy, then this might be one method to do that. In terms of limitations, given the fact that GCSF plays a causative role in progenitor cell mobilization, it would have been useful if the authors had examined the temporal response of progenitor cell mobilization with exercise in conjunction with endogenous GCSF, because this would have informed us whether or not GCSF released during exercise plays any role in progenitor cell mobilization. And it would also have been useful if the authors compared the response among multiple exercise bouts of varying intensity and duration to be more informative in this context. Otherwise, I thought it was a very well-designed study and a very well-executed study.
Dr. DeLizio, what is the potential physiological purpose of this mobilization, and why might it be important to physiological responses to exercise?
That's a good question. It's something that we're actively trying to follow up on in the lab. As it has been shown in disease models such as stroke and myocardial infarction, that in these conditions, bone marrow progenitor cells are mobilized and then home to damaged tissues to help repair those tissues. So we're wondering if these stem cell populations that get mobilized by exercise are involved in some of the systemic adaptations to exercise in these other tissues that aren't, you know, directly stressed by exercise, like the muscle. Another role for these mobilized stem cells could be in having a role in immune surveillance. So hematopoietic stem cells have been shown to directly respond to antigens. So in cases of increased infection or something like that, more mobilized stem cells could be responsive to these antigens and increased production of mature immune cells. And then finally, hematopoiesis happens in a number of different bones throughout the body. So maybe these stem cells are being released and homing to different bones in the body to signal to those bones that, hey, we need to increase hematopoiesis to meet the new demands of this current stress that's happening.
Dr. Simpson, you touched on the exercise response a little bit, but do you think the mode of exercise is important? Is this just a side effect of increasing blood flow, or do you think there's other mechanisms at play?
That's a very good question. I think it really depends on what the mechanism for the response is. So if it is just due to sustained elevations in hemodynamic shear stress that accompanies increases in cardiac output and blood pressure, then you would expect that steady-state aerobic-based exercise would be a greater stimulus to mobilize these particular cells into the peripheral circulation. I'm not aware of any literature that's looked at resistance exercise, for example. But as Dr. DeLizio mentioned, if the mobilization of these stem cells is to aid in tissue repair and regeneration, then it's possible that you would see these cells mobilized into the blood after resistance-type exercise also.
Dr. DeLizio, Dr. Simpson talked briefly about the clinical importance of this work. Did you have anything to add to that? How do you see this, especially in the context of stem cell transplantation?
Some questions that need to be answered for this to truly translate to the clinic are to see if exercise can synergize with GCSF. So GCSF has a much slower mobilizing kinetics than exercise does. So does exercise prime the system, or does it increase the early activation or early mobilization of these populations so that you can decrease the amount of time donors need to spend during apheresis? And another area that we need to address is, Dr. Simpson mentioned, the optimal modality as well as the optimal dose of exercise.
Dr. Simpson, what do you view as the future directions of this work?
I think we really need to try and understand the mechanisms by which exercise augments the mobilization of these progenitor cells. And I think that there are certain pharmaceutical interventions that we could use in this context. For instance, we could ask people to exercise on various types of beta blockers, as this would allow us to determine if catecholamines and beta adrenergic receptor signaling is at least partially involved in the mobilization of these cell types. Depending on the types of drugs we use, we could also lower shear stress in such a way that would help us to determine if changes in hemodynamic shear stress is responsible for mobilizing circulating progenitor cells in response to exercise.
Dr. DeLizio, would you like to add to what your future directions are with this work?
Yeah, so just to follow up on what Dr. Simpson mentioned there is a limitation I see to exercise being used as an adjuvant therapy is the transient increase in these stem cell populations during exercise. So in our study, we show that shortly after exercise, different stem cell populations are back down to basal levels, and this has been shown in many other papers. So something that we're considering is, can we target skeletal muscle and prevent extraction of the stem cells from the blood and entering into skeletal muscle so that we increase the amount of time that the stem cell quantities actually stay elevated in the blood. So we have a recent mouse paper published in 2015 showing that various stem cell homing factors are upregulated in muscle in response to exercise. So pharmacological targets can be directed at those in muscle that would prevent kind of a pull sensation of getting these mobilized stem cells out of the blood. Then that would increase the amount of time that we see an elevation in mobilized stem cells.
Dr. Simpson, do you have anything to add to what Dr. DeLisio said?
Yes, I think Dr. DeLisio has made a very good point, keeping these stem cell numbers elevated for prolonged periods of time so that adequate numbers of them can be collected from the blood during apheresis is very important. I think we should highlight the fact that even when stem cells are mobilized during exercise, the numbers that are mobilized are still substantially less than what we find in the resting blood of donors who have received G-CSF therapy for several days. And so they're actually about 10 times less. So I don't think that exercise could really be used as a method to replace G-CSF therapy. But as Dr. DeLisio said, reducing the amount of G-CSF that can be used or really cutting down on the apheresis times is definitely a role that the exercise could play in this context. In terms of keeping the stem cell counts elevated in blood for prolonged periods of time, again, it really depends on what the mechanism is for the mobilization. If we do find there's a catecholamine-mediated response, then that leaves open the possibility of infusing certain types of catecholamines that can be used to cause the mobilization of these stem cells and keep them elevated in the blood long enough for the entire apheresis procedure so that we can increase stem cell yields.
Dr. DeLisio, do you have anything to add to that?
Another remaining question is, what is the functionality of these stem cells that are mobilized by exercise? Are they as potent as pharmacologically mobilized stem cells at regenerating the hematopoietic system in recipients? And so that's a question that needs to be addressed, because we don't want to be transplanting mobilized cells that are stressed out or have high oxidative stress levels within them that do then not function quite as well when they're transplanted into recipients.
I'm going to thank Dr. DeLisio and Dr. Simpson for their expert opinions on this paper. If you find that you are interested in this novel application of exercise as a therapeutic agent, please be sure to check out the full text article in the Journal of Applied Physiology.